Welcome to Influencer Business, where influencers get help with the hard stuff. We're a team of influencers and entrepreneurs dedicated to bringing professional resources and infrastructure to our community. I'm Rich Scutellari, CEO of Trove. I'm an entrepreneur focused on helping influencers run and grow their businesses with the resources and information they need. Our weekly podcast features guests from across the professional landscape, sharing their experiences and advice and answering questions from the Trove community, which you can submit on our website at www.trovebusiness.com. Welcome back to Influencer Business. I'm your host, Rich Scutellari. Couldn't be more excited to have you with us here this week. We are kicking off a masterclass series. So if you're not familiar with what masterclasses are here at Trove, we go out, we find experts and talk to them about a very specific topic as it relates to the influencer industry. And this week, we're going to be covering how to work with brands, how to be better at working with brands, what brands are looking for, the best that we've seen out there, the worst things that we've seen out there. It's going to be awesome. And it was actually supposed to be only a single episode and a single write-up on our website, but there was so much good stuff that came out of our conversations that we decided to break it up into four different episodes, and then a fifth one that recaps it. It's going to be an incredible series of episodes. I hope you tune in to each one. And instead of, we usually, for these masterclasses, chat with other influencers because usually there's nobody better to talk to. They have gone through it before and have a wealth of knowledge, and tapping into that is incredibly valuable. But this time we actually decided to go and chat with the folks who sit in between the brands and the influencers, the agencies and the consultants who help brands run campaigns, who reach out to influencers, bring them in for specific programs, and basically spend all of their working life sitting in between these two stakeholders, because this is what they do. They've seen a lot. They know what's been successful. They know what matters. They also are the people who are making the decisions. So if you're looking to work with more brands and retailers or have more successful relationships with brands and retailers and agencies, these are the folks that you should listen to, because this is what they do on a daily basis. And they will give you the inside scoop on what you can do to work with more brands, how you can do a better job, what you can do to make their life easier so that you get put up for more campaigns. It is just an amazing treasure chest of incredible insights and advice. And for this first installment of the masterclass, we're going to very simply be talking about what are they looking for in influencers, what makes people stand out, and how you can stand out amongst the crowd. But without any further ado, I want to introduce you to our contributors. We have five amazing contributors from a variety of different positions and companies within the industry. I'll start by introducing Lauren McGrath. She's the VP of Studio and Strategy at Activate. If you haven't already joined the Activate platform, you really should. You can head to activate.social. Basically, Activate is a leading influencer marketplace. You can go sign up, create your profile, connect your social accounts, and they will help you match up with amazing campaigns from their client list. Lauren is awesome. We've known Lauren for a long time. She has been in the industry for a long time as well. Before she was at Activate, she was at Lippi Taylor, where she was the head of talent and influencer engagement and responsible for leading the agency's influencer marketing efforts. And even before that, she was at Refinery 29. So she really has been in the industry since its infancy and has just an incredible amount of insight to provide on this topic. Next, we are also joined by Alex Hojnacka. She has over 13 years of digital marketing experience and is currently the Senior Director of Business Development at ShopStyle. While at ShopStyle, Alex has really helped brands and retailers, you know, like Neiman Marcus, Macy's, Nordstrom, all these big retailers out there, grow their affiliate programs and their programs with influencers by triple digits. So Alex has a really unique perspective as somebody who not only works with brands on their influencer side of things, but also on the affiliate marketing side of things as well. Next, we're joined by Angie Niles, who has over 18 years of experience in PR and marketing within the fashion, beauty, and lifestyle spaces. She's currently a brand consultant. She really focuses on results-driven marketing campaigns for brands kind of in the luxury, contemporary, and direct-to-consumer markets. She helps both U.S.-based brands, but she also is helping European brands who are looking to enter the U.S. market to develop, refine, and grow their influencer strategies. She's also somewhat of an influencer herself. She's written a book, so really has a very detailed understanding of the industry from all sides. We're also joined by Carly Hill, who is a social media and influencer account executive at Allison Broad Marketing and Communications. If you're in the influencer industry, you've heard of ABMC. They're awesome. You know, one of the things that Carly does really focuses on is connecting brands with influencers and helping them use the content that these influencers create through their programs to generate new customers. She's actually also an influencer herself and a blogger herself. You can check her out. Carly A. Hill is her handle on Instagram. So she's got firsthand experience on both sides, not only running campaigns, but also being one of the influencers in a campaign. So she's really built a wonderfully impressive career in the fashion, events, and lifestyle space, and gives her, you know, she's got this really wonderful, truly well-rounded viewpoint when it comes to the influencer industry. And finally, we're also joined by Sydney Fazand. Sydney is the VP of Digital at LaForce. LaForce, again, if you're in the influencer space, you've heard of LaForce, an awesome agency, really on the bleeding edge when it comes to working with influencers. And she's actually the mastermind behind some of the firm's most recognized digital campaigns. She works primarily on the entertainment lifestyle team. You probably have seen she's involved in everything Veuve Clicquot and has just done an incredible job there. Prior to heading up their digital team, she actually built up their digital and social media group because LaForce was around long before influencers were. And so she's been at the forefront of the digital marketing and influencer industry since 2012. So that's when she joined LaForce. And she's really had such a big role in helping it grow and develop. So kind of seen it all and just a wonderful contributor to have in this masterclass. So those are our five amazing contributors. If you want to read more about them or figure out how to connect with them, make sure you head over to trovebusiness.com. We have all of their profiles. We have their contact information and all of everything you could ever need in terms of kind of reaching out to them and reading more about who they are. But with introductions out of the way, I want to dive right in because you're not here to listen to me talk. You are here to hear what they have to say. So let's dive right in. The first question that I posed to these women was, what do you look for in influencers when casting a campaign? Very simple, straight to the point, and let's hear what they have to say. So first up, it's Lauren from Activate.
Our casting lens will inevitably vary depending on the type of brand that we're casting for, as well as the type of opportunity at hand. So the approach that we take for example, a sponsored video post is different than the approach that we might take for an ambassadorship or an endorsement deal, which is then, you know, different than the approach that we would take for like an organic seeding program with influencers. We cast for all of those different engagements. And so, you know, the approach we take is again, really tailored to the brand and, you know, the type of output that we're looking for from creators. Of course, numbers, metrics are super important and they do play a role in how we identify influencers, how we propose them. But we also place a lot of emphasis on more qualitative factors as well. You know, I personally have a background in digital publishing. I worked for Refinery29 for a number of years, sort of helping to build out their influencer division. And so I generally try to think about talent casting in the way an editor might think about booking talent for a feature that they're working on. So sort of aside from what that influencer is doing today or right now, I like to challenge our team to look at and learn what an influencer might have in the pipeline that might make them more relevant 3, 6, 9 months from now. Do they have a book coming out? Is there a podcast that they're releasing? Is there a life moment that they're about to encounter that's going to make a splash in some way? We ultimately want to align our clients with influencers who show that like momentum and relevancy. And I also try to seek out influencers who showcase a strong level of like real life relevancy as well, I like to call it. So whether that's through a job or a career that they have roots in or continue to maintain, some kind of industry experience that gives them like a unique category credibility, we tend to look for that extra element as we generally see stronger narratives coming from those voices. Something I want to call out, you know, is really diversity and inclusivity, because that's something that's really important to us at Activate. It's not just about checking a box. It's about making sure that we're speaking to everyone who can benefit from a particular brand or product, and ultimately making sure that we're bringing opportunities to credible voices that inspire diverse audiences. You know, and we don't even think about diversity just in like the casting. It's something that really needs to be ingrained in the creative of the campaign as well. So we do think about that a lot in the ideation phase. You know, I would say like lastly, like vetting is really important. So we like to look at what brands an influencer is talking about, their existing retailer affinities, using our platform's content exploration tool to make sure that they're not talking about unsavory topics or competitive brands regularly. We really like to, you know, do our due diligence there. We certainly look at audience demographics, really first and foremost when we're qualifying whether an influencer is a fit for a campaign that we're working on. We measure that on our platform. Really, our platform is our primary casting and vetting vehicle. It provides so much value to the studio team day in and day out. So from an audience demographic standpoint, we look at location, age, gender, but also things like marital status and parental status. We use Demographics Pro on the Activate platform, so that covers off on all of those topics. I would say engagement rate is important, but it does inevitably vary depending on the tier of influencer we're considering, their category, their location. You know, we are seeing a lot more of an emphasis on conversion focused campaigns. And, you know, I would say that I don't always see a correlation between engagement rate and like the sales an influencer can drive. So if we're focusing on more like brand awareness initiatives, then engagement rate is more important. If we're focusing more on like, you know, lower funnel, then I don't really place a ton of emphasis on engagement rate. We do look at sponsorship saturation. That's something that the platform measures. So we try to focus on creators who create less than 30% sponsored content on Instagram in particular. Anything more than that, and we just feel like their editorial voice is compromised. We do try to seek out influencers who have some level of like historical conversion data that they can share, you know, whether they or their reps kind of keep tabs on that. Even having an understanding, like if they don't have like sales numbers, even just understanding like how many clicks they drive on average on a swipe up on their stories, that's really, really helpful for us to have because we are, again, increasingly more focused on those like lower funnel, you know, KPIs. Sentiment is also something that's important for us. So our platform tracks that across campaigns, definitely looking for influencers who drive a lot of consideration, a lot of positive sentiment. And then I kind of mentioned this about as like a qualitative factor, but just like growth in general is something that we also look at on the quantitative side of things. So audience growth, engagement growth, we recently introduced that feature on our platform and it's definitely a favorite of mine. So something that we are using, you know, more and more regularly these days.
Next up, we'll hear from Angie Niles.
I'd like to first start with what the needs of the client are. Like who's their current customer? Where are they looking to grow? Do they have a lot of customers in Dallas, but nobody in Houston? So then I can really strategically form a list of where these girls are. And it's not just the same list for everyone. So I start there, and then I really like working with people who understand the importance of developing relationships with brands. And those are the influencers I like to really kind of start with and then work with the most because it's so important. And I think that a lot of the original girls who, when I first started working, segueing from traditional PR into influencer, we were all navigating it together. So they understood the concept and understanding of developing relationships with brands. And it doesn't mean that you always get paid to do something, but it can turn into such larger, a larger perspective in a project. And now I think what the influencer world is missing are all of these newer girls who lack that understanding and they just do one-off projects and it doesn't come across as being authentic. And I don't think they perform as well. So even if it's not necessarily someone who I per se have a relationship with, but I know they have great relationships with friends of mine who work with influencer, work in influencer management or, you know, brand side, I think that says a lot for how they're going to work with you as an influencer partner, I guess. And I also look at see, okay, who's performed for me with past clients? Are they the right fit for this? Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. I like to really look at the type of product, you know, if it's a more indie unknown brand and this one blogger happens to only wear name brands and that's what her followers resonate with, she might not be a good fit for that. or if the product is $300 and they focus most of their content on items under 100. But then when I have a product that's under 100, then that's the person I want to work with. So those are probably the key things.
Next up is Sydney Fazand from LaForce.
The most basic level of criteria, it's that first glance approach. I know that seems sort of strange. So it's kind of like, if I were to just look at this person's feed, could I see my brand there organically? You know, that's kind of like what you look at first. More often than not, you won't be approaching kind of like the health and wellness influencer for a margarita partnership. And then I think the other thing that's been tough is, you know, the influencers that are just fashion, you know, do they even cover facets such as entertaining? And again, I'm approaching this kind of through the lens of, you know, a lot of my clients are wine and spirits right now. So entertaining is a super big thing for them. So those are kind of like the first round things that we look for. You look at what, like a grid of 9 or 12, and you kind of, you know, if you're kind of just on the cobblestone streets of Soho, no matter how glamorous, you know, it's like that, you know, you wouldn't be really talking about wines often or enough to really kind of merit that partnership. So that's kind of like the first step, I guess, is personal. It's kind of like that human touch, using like your own intuition. Whereas, you know, there are so many tools available that kind of like help you look at the numbers, right? So engagement rate does matter to a point. We also like to look at the past collaborators and partners. You know, and here's where it gets a little tricky, right? Because it's like, okay, they talk about wines, but how often are they partnering with however many different wines? You know, you kind of want to find that that white space and that sweet spot for whether you make sense for this partner, because the ultimate goal, at least for our LaForce brands, and what we're always trying to do, is to build out more prolific and long-term partnerships than just kind of like that one and done sponsored post. We hate that, you know, because we really want to work with partners for a longer period of time and create programs that live beyond, like, you know, the brand's marketing goals and campaigns, and kind of like find the messaging that makes the most sense for the influencer, because that's when we're getting the best results from an engagement standpoint, right? So it only helps us to kind of like get in the mind's eye of our partner and build something with them.
Next, we'll hear from Alex Hojnacka from ShopStyle.
So high level, looking for, I mean, the content is important. So looking at their content, making sure that it meets the standards of the brands. And a lot of times, you know, we have a ShopStyle, we obviously have the sales and conversion data. So we're pretty numbers and data focused. And that's our value prop to why a brand would work with us versus some of these discovery platforms that don't have the sales data. So numbers is where we start. But then the content is really important, and just making sure it's aligned. And it is really all dependent on the brand, because we have, you know, some brands like Walmart coming to us and wanting to work with us. And we really have to be thoughtful about which influencers would, you know, where would Walmart be the most authentic? We don't want anyone to write about a brand that they wouldn't be shopping at or want to promote naturally. And so the reason why influencer marketing works, you know, this is obviously it's authentic, it's relatable. We don't want any influencers isolating their audience. And so we definitely think about that in casting, but we always start with the numbers. We have our network has 25,000 influencers. We have our own CRM tool, and we have the data there to show us, okay, if a brand like Nike is coming to us for a campaign, we look at ShopStyle data, ShopStyle collective data, to see which influencers are already driving sales to Nike. And maybe we look at who's driving a high conversion rate for fitness apparel or for sneakers. So we kind of dive into that data and see which influencers pop up on our radar there. And so if you're doing really well for sneakers, if you're converting really well for the fitness apparel and Nike wants to do a campaign with you, we're likely going to cast you in that campaign if also your content is kind of in line with, you know, an influencer Nike would approve.
Next, it's Carly Hill from ABMC.
Each client and program is different for us. You know, some clients, they just want the big names and that, you know, awareness driving. So we're looking more number of followers, but really these days I wouldn't say that's a huge criteria we're looking at for most of our programs. It's really the influencers who have that great engagement that, you know, they may convert, they may not, but they're really engaged with their audience and talking every day to them. And stories has become such a big part of all of our programs too. I think it's shifted a lot from even doing static or blog posts. You know, stories is where it seems everyone is swiping left to right instead of up and down these days, and seeing how we can do longer programs through stories. So, you know, each program is different, like I said. So we're looking, are they creating beautiful content? Are they converting? Do they engage with their audience? Do they have a positive, are they talking to their audience in a positive way about different brands? So it changes each program, but we always look at a number of criteria.
The next question I asked our contributors was, what makes an influencer stand out? When a campaign comes up, what makes someone come to mind? And so first up, we'll hear from Carly at ABMC.
Professionalism is like the biggest thing, though. Those are the people that always stand out to me, who come in, get a project, and they, you know, answer in a timely manner. I'm not chasing them down for their captions to preview or whatever it may be. They, you know, which happens. And then it's like, you performed so well, but you were so horrible to work with. It's like that, you know, balance. I don't know what to do sometimes, but being professional is probably the number one thing that I always say, like, this is your job. And like, you wouldn't act that way if you were at a 9-to-5 job. So you need to perform this way too. And we love when people email us just to intro us to them. You know, every person that emails us, we add to our database just so we can remember them for future. I don't love when people just email you like, hi, nice to meet you. I want to be paid for this. Like, it's just nice when people reach out to make sure we're on their radar. And so that's a great way to just get started with companies that you want to be, you know, work with in the future. Not over emailing, but kind of sending maybe a quarterly update being like, hey, this, just want to get back on your radar. I know I've emailed before, but like, this is what I've shared on my content so far of brands that you are your client, so that people can see like, oh, she's been organically posting about this brand for so long now. It's not this like one-off, I'm just looking to be paid moment. So kind of showcasing your work and bragging a little bit just to get us we remember. And I think that's just a great way to kind of get in the door. So when we're putting together a program later on, we'll be like, she emailed us about how she's been posting about this so long. This would be such an organic fit. And it's really not a numbers game anymore. Like, I mean, there are the moments where we want the person with 1 million followers, but like, that's very rare these days. And it's finding people that we just have a great relationship with and are so organic. And they turn, you know, a thing that I've always said too, is like, I like when an influencer turns down something because I know that they know what works for their brand and aren't going to take every paid gig that comes their way.
Next, we'll hear from Lauren at Activate.
Once in a while, I will get just like cold outreach from an influencer. You know, whenever they're able to reference how they found me or how they found Activate, you know, whether that's through a mutual connection or if they saw Activate or me mentioned in the press somewhere, it's really, really helpful for me to connect the dots. And it really makes me feel like that influencer is serious if they're talking to other professionals in the space or if they're reading the right sort of trade publications. You know, I would say that anytime an influencer like reaches out, knowing that they've done their due diligence and signed up on the Activate platform makes a difference to me as well. They don't have to have been on the platform for like the last year, but if, you know, they have at least signed up, connected their social accounts, and are at least informed about like the opportunities on the platform that exist, you know, that's something that definitely stands out to me. I also think like, you know, even just providing like actionable feedback that will help me do my job better, I find really helpful. You know, somebody like Bianca Jade, you know, has been on our platform for a really long time and is always just like really forthcoming with ideas and insights on how we can make her life easier. And that in turn, you know, allows us to do our job more effectively in developing a platform that successfully connects influencers, you know, with the brands that they're qualified to promote and, you know, the brands that they care about.
Next, we'll hear from Angie Niles.
people's willingness to go the extra mile and do extra posts that they're not paid to do. And it's not something that's that I expect, but it certainly goes like a million miles when they do it and it's so appreciated. For example, I had a girl for an accessories brand. She received the product a month before her sponsor post was due. She started just wearing it organically, naturally, without saying anything and without it being paid. And she even bought it in another color. And I would have gifted it to her, but she just was like, but I really loved it and I wanted it in this other color. So by the time her sponsored post came out and had a trackable link, her conversions were through the roof. And it was just like her, and she was like, I know, but I knew that if I posted it early before the sponsored post, I'd make more sales. And then now, like, the brand, I'm recommending her for like a year-long ambassador program because, you know, it's sort of a no-brainer. But that, and it's hard to say that, you know, I don't want to, like, just because someone doesn't give extra doesn't mean I disvalue them or did not want to work with them again. But I think that's one of the biggest things is because I appreciate it so much and I know that they don't have to and they know that they don't have to, but it's smart business.
Next, we'll hear from Sydney from LaForce.
Meeting people person to person at events or even the ones that reach out or the influencers that reach out and ask you for coffee or something like that, you really get to know them and it does make them really, really stand out because, you know, again, having done this for 8 years, there are still some influencers that I've, I guess, quote, worked with or had at my events that I've never met in person, which is so crazy. And you kind of think about the people who you do have those live relationships with, those warm relationships with first when it comes down to these types of programs. But it's kind of twofold. It's not just because you know them, but it's almost because you know a little bit more about them. You know, when you leave these conversations, you kind of have a sense for what they're working on, what they'd be excited to work on. And then when that opportunity comes across your desk where, you know, it seems to be a good fit, you have a better sense of knowing how great of a match that would be just based on the groundwork that's already been laid there.
And finally, Alex from ShopStyle.
But I like it when they're true to themselves and true to their audience. And the more honest and open they are, because that's the whole reason why this thing works. It's when they're sharing, when they're oversharing, the more vulnerable they get, when they add their own personal stories to the content. Anytime an influencer can really get vulnerable, it's a lot to ask and it's hard to do. But when they, you know, when they include these stories, I think it makes it really, really powerful. As long as they feel comfortable doing it.
And the final question I put to these contributors for this first installment of How to Work with Brands is, do the numbers matter? We talk a lot about the algorithm. We talk about conversion. We talk about engagement. We talk about a bunch of different things as it relates to the numbers. And I wanted to know, how much do the numbers matter when it comes to figuring out who's going to be a part of a campaign? First, we'll hear from Lauren at Activate.
Numbers are hugely important at the moment because brand objectives are really moving down funnel, as I mentioned. Now more than ever, we have brands tapping into creators for conversion-oriented campaigns. So influencers that can show an actual return on investment are, you know, pretty much guaranteed to get continued business. That said, I do think that the messaging and the quality of the content does have an impact on like the numbers to some degree. And so I think in this business, it's important that influencers, you know, don't sacrifice the art and the creative, you know, just for the sake of like the science. The numbers that are important are ultimately dependent on like what the end goal is. So, you know, if the goal is conversion, then again, I'm not thinking as much about things like engagement rates or impressions. I'm thinking more about click-through rate on Instagram stories or swipe up rate, if you will. You know, return on ad spend, I mentioned, is really important. So influencers should try to be as aggressive as possible with like getting their hands on the stats that that brands or agencies have access to at the end of a campaign. You know, just like just like, you know, we require influencers to provide screen grabs of, you know, insights, you know, to whatever degree influencers can hold brands or agencies accountable for providing them with feedback on how they did on some of the numbers that influencers might not have direct access to. I think that's completely reasonable. And something that influencers should, you know, certainly be thinking about. You know, I would say, you know, kind of beyond, you know, beyond the metrics, you know, even just getting like things like testimonials, you know, from influencers about how they enjoyed working with the brand or how their audience responded to a particular product is hugely helpful. That is one thing that does kind of has the potential to set an influencer apart in my mind. I will always pass that along to a brand and call out, you know, that influencer for sharing their experience. I also think like just the notion of, you know, sort of following up after a project's done, letting me know, you know, what they're up to next, checking in a few months later, staying on my radar, like all of that matters, I think, in the grand scheme of things, in addition to, you know, the numbers and the metrics. At the end of the day, you want to, you know, work with influencers that, you know, drive results. You also want to work with influencers that, you know, that you like and do a good job and deliver things on time and are forthcoming with their metrics. So all of that, you know, does go a long way.
Next, we'll hear from Carly at ABMC.
Right now for numbers, you know, of course we want always a post to do well. Likes and comments do matter, but what we're seeing now is we read the comments a lot more too and seeing how people are responding and is it authentic? And, you know, stories, like I said, too, is such a big thing for us. We ask now for story metrics before any program we sign people on, because that's where we were starting to catch people with the fake followers. And like there are so many tools that, you know, say if you have fake followers or not, and it happens, like people get bots no matter what, even if you've never paid for an influence or for followers in your life. But that's where the true engagement is now, is seeing in your stories, who's swiping up, who's watching your stories every day, who's clicking through. So I would say that metric is probably the most important these days, is the story views, and not necessarily swipe ups, but just seeing like, do you have an engaged audience on there? Are they wanting to tune into you every day or see what you're working on? And like some of our best performers these days are not influencers who have a million followers. They have kind of that 200K and below. So it's great to see that girls who have been working hard and are still growing can have the more conversion than someone with a million followers these days. But yeah, there's definitely a difference, I would say, between the metrics right now for stories and just being like the quality of content. You know, are they shooting with a professional photographer? And that doesn't always necessarily matter too, because some people know how to work an iPhone better than a professional camera. But are you delivering the content the brand has asked for and creating something really engaging and beautiful? So those are our two things that I would say are our top things we're looking at.
Next up is Sydney from LaForce.
It's totally depends on what the goal of the campaign is. Right. So I have some clients that do, and I'll talk about BuffClicko for just a second, because they don't have e-commerce, right? That's actually tied to like their brand. So it's kind of every influencer partnership that we do really is about kind of like the editorial narrative. You know, like how can this partner tell BuffClicko's story in a unique or different way? Right. Whereas, you know, some of the beauty brands that I'm working on, you know, conversion is huge for them, and influencers convert for beauty. So we actually look at those numbers, and prior to approaching these partners, you know, with an actual brief, you know, we have a good understanding of who does convert in beauty. And that's a lot of times, I think, just because of our relationships with, you know, the talent agencies and things like that. But it's totally different. You know, you have a client that just comes to you and you're like, you know, I want to convert, or you have a client that comes to you and says, you know, I want to have like an image driving awareness campaign. And then you have a client that says, I want it all.
Next is Alex from ShopStyle.
Yeah, I think for the most part right now, it's the numbers are first. I think we're starting to look at quality of content first when it comes to specific campaigns. Like the La Prairie one was a really good example where they came to us and they said, you know what? Our goal is actually just content creation. We want beautiful content, and we really need influencers that shoot this type of content that's more editorial, aspirational feeling, influencers that don't necessarily always put their face in their content. They had very specific asks. And so when we did the casting for that, it was all, content first.
And finally, here's what Angie Niles had to say.
I think definitely ROI, KPIs, all of those trackable things, and it matter. There's a lot of brands who see a lot of value in just having an influx of images for themselves, and then they save money. So they might be spending $12,000 on a shoot, and instead they could put that into 3 or 4 blogger activations and get the same number of photos. So it's nice. I like it when I have a client who understands there's more value than just conversions, because the percentage of influencers who can actually convert is very small. But that doesn't mean they don't have that other people don't have value.
So those are the initial 3 questions that I posed to our contributors. There are a lot more coming up in the subsequent installments of this masterclass, How to Work with Brands Better. But really quickly, before we get to that, I want to recap the answers to these questions. I think that there are a couple of key things that we can pull out from the answers that our contributors provided. First and foremost, I think that be professional and treat your work like business. I think, unfortunately, a lot of influencers either get bullied into not treating their work like a real business, or they don't even think about doing that in the first place. But you have to start doing it if you're not already, because the brands, the agencies, the consultants, they all want that. It'll just make you so much more appetizing to work with because you treat it like a business and they can count on you. The second thing that I wanted to pull out from the answers that our contributors provided was that turning down work could actually earn you a lot more work in the future. A few different folks mentioned it a couple of different times, but it shows that you're confident in who you are, and they can also kind of rely on you to tell them if you're a good fit or not. If I'm at an agency or I'm at a consultant and I have a project and I think it might be good for you, if I know that you are going to be honest with me about whether or not it's a good fit and I feel like I can trust you, I'm going to put it in front of you, even if I'm not sure myself. That means that you're going to get more opportunities for work because they feel like they can trust you. And quite honestly, they have to do less work themselves. They can just ask you, hey, I've got this program. Do you think you'd be interested? Would it be good for your audience? Yes, no, they trust you. So turn down work if it's not a good fit. It actually could earn more business for you in the future. And then finally, the last thing I wanted to say is, as you can see from their answers, there are a lot of different ways to stand out. They all have different answers for the questions. They all have a slightly different take. It's not all perfectly aligned. There is no single view that rules the world when it comes to influencer marketing. Yes, there are some basic universal principles. You can see takeaways 1 and 2, be professional and turning down work is actually a good thing. But the nice thing about being an influencer is that there are an infinite number of paths that you can carve for yourself when it comes to being creative and building your business. So take that to heart and really think about what is it that makes you stand out and double down on that. Because brands are always looking for amazing creative people, big number of followers, small number of followers, you heard. They're looking for people who create amazing, vibrant content, who engage with their audience and a number of different factors. And if you prove that you're good at this, if you prove to be a good partner, they will keep coming back for more. So those are the 3 main things I wanted to mention as takeaways for this first installment of this masterclass that we're doing. Make sure you tune in next time. We have another episode coming out tomorrow where we're going to be focusing on some of the trends and what's happening with budgets right now in the influencer marketing space. So again, a big thank you to all of our contributors. You'll hear more from them on our next episode. Also want to give a big shout out to Pete Crimi, who always makes us sound better over the airwaves than we do in person. And for all of this and a whole lot more, make sure you check out trovebusiness.com. We have a wonderful write-up on this particular episode. We'll have new stuff every single day. You can find everything you could ever need to help you run your business more efficiently there, trovebusiness.com. Thanks again. I'm Rich Scutellari, and this has been your first installment of the masterclass on how to work with brand partners. We'll see you next time.